You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci with the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. We've got a stacked up program this evening. Dave Malinsky will join us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Joe Pisapia will join us as we'll dive into the Black Book. We're talking fantasy football. The playoffs are here in the fantasy football world. We'll talk fantasy football playoffs as well as Week 14 NFL DFS. Pete Yiannopoulos steps up and in. Former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen. So you know that Pete's going to have some thoughts on Jim Valvano and the Jimmy V Classic that takes place this evening. It starts tonight at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. We've got the UConn Huskies and Syracuse. We've got a real fun basketball game, Villanova and Gonzaga on the board as well this evening. We've got some picks for you for both these basketball games. Pete Yiannopoulos is going to join us. We'll also talk about the LeVar and LiAngelo Ball debacle. We'll hit that with Big Man on Campus, Morenci Unfiltered, this evening as well. We pick up the pieces following Monday Night Football. Fun football game last night, man. Hard-hitting, old-school, bad blood. You know, that's a rivalry, man. People talk about the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers rivalry, and it's interesting they play each other. But the Bengals and the Steelers, I think out of every team in the National Football League, that these two teams hate each other the most. Like, there's a serious dislike. You can just feel it. You see it. Like, there's no regret when these guys injure each other, as we've seen over the past years. And speaking of which, we wish the best to Ryan Shazier. That's the dark side of things, man. You don't want to see that type of stuff. And our thoughts and prayers with him right now, and what's going to be a real, real tough time, in the future. All right. We got a lot of stuff to get to on the program. Let's get right down to business, and let's talk about the National Football League. The Steelers beat the Cincinnati Bengals last night, and it's amazing to me how history repeats itself on a weekly basis in the National Football League. Cincinnati Bengals played a perfect game last night. You know, the first half, they did everything right pretty much for the entire game. Like, the Cincinnati Bengals played about as well as they could have played, but in the end, they ended up losing the football game anyways. You know, they only scored 3 points in the second half. They would have been able to score a touchdown when they were moving the football. Would have made a huge difference in this football game, but just a complete collapse. And once again, history has repeated itself. Andy Dalton didn't suck, and for the record, they did cover the point spread, right? They did cover the number, and you know what they say in Vegas, good teams win, great teams cover. But, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers had won 4 straight times in Cincinnati. Make it 5 right now. They've now won 9 of the last 10 football games that they played against the Cincinnati Bengals. Like I said, thank God they covered a point spread. Otherwise, I'd be sitting here saying, what the hell was I thinking? But it's amazing to me, you know, that history repeats itself over and over and over, yet we don't seem to remember it. You know, it's the Bengals and the Steelers, it's almost like Charlie Brown, Lucy type of stuff right now when she pulls the football at the last second. But, you know, let's go across the board here. Let's just talk about a couple of football teams. When you think of the Cleveland Browns, what do you think of? Well, you think of a joke of a franchise that never win football games. But when you think of the Cleveland Browns, like, what's their MO this year? They're going to move the football. Deshaun Kizer will make some plays. They're going to get in the red zone. They're going to turn the ball over. What do they do against the Chargers this week? They moved up and down the field. There's Deshaun Kizer scrambling around, la-di-da-da, backs into Joey Bosa. He fumbles the football. Excuse me. Yeah, he fumbles the football. There's the Cleveland Browns. Browns actually ended up covering the number. When you think about the Buffalo Bills, what do you think of? You know, what's the average guy think of when you think of the Buffalo Bills? Probably you think of wasted fans slamming each other through tables. Check. You think of fans throwing dildos on the field. Check. And you think of a good defense that whose offense is pedestrian, and we're being kind when we say pedestrian. Well, what happened on Sunday with the Buffalo Bills? What happened? Buffalo Bills defense played great. Buffalo Bills fans got wasted and threw dildos on the field. And Tyrod Taylor threw for 65 yards, and they lost to the Patriots again. History once again repeated itself. Carolina Panthers down double digits in the second half. Absolutely zero sense of urgency. We see this over and over with this football team. Carolina are a good team, but there's a good Carolina and there's a bad Carolina. You never really know which one you're going to get. And Cam Newton just seems disinterested, and there's no sense of urgency with this guy at times. There's no sense of urgency with Mike Shula in the play calling, but it happens over and over and over again. Blair Walsh misses big field goals over and over and over again. It's like we're living in some sort of weird matrix vortex in which everything in reality has already actually happened. I'm getting into Inception type stuff now, the movie, which I love. I love that movie. I don't understand it, though. Going into someone's dreams, and I don't know. Inception's like the Mission Impossible movies. Good movies, but by the end of it, you're like, I don't know, man. Tom Cruise got to get that chip out of this building. That's what this movie is, all right? It's not really anything. It's a bunch of scenes, you know what I'm saying? But I'm starting to believe this, that we know everything already. Everything has already happened. History does repeat itself over and over. The same sequences. We're living in some sort of weird vortex in which if we could just figure it out and see through the black hole, we'd be able to predict the future. Man, and I don't think you have to be, Miss Cleo to figure out that the Cleveland Browns are going to move the football and turn it over, that the Buffalo Bill fans are going to get wasted and the Bills are going to choke and suck on the football field. You don't have to be Miss Cleo or a fortune teller to know that Cam Newton is an erratic and an inconsistent football player who's has very, very extreme mood swings. The only thing that I have to remember is all of the above before I place my bets this week. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's send it straight to the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. A man that I call the professor joins us. You can be the student and get a lot smarter. Just read the column on a daily basis over at sportsbookreview.com. The column is Vegas Point Blank. It's right there on the front page. You can't miss it. Just like you can't miss Dave Malinsky with us every Tuesday right here on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Dave, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Gabriel, it's a little bit of the calm before the storm. This is our first major week without college football since way back into August. So a lot of us get to take a little bit of a breath. But now home stretch for the NFL. And here's what's interesting about the NFL now is obviously there's a big focus on teams playing for playoffs in 2017. But for a team like San Francisco, has 2018 already begun? So there's more than meets the eye to a lot of things happening on this NFL board.
You know what? And the standings and the playoff picture are starting to get interesting. It's been an underwhelming NFL regular season, to say the least. And that's being kind. But with that being stated, right now, there are some interesting football games and there's some interesting storylines. And as far as the playoffs are concerned and playoff seeding is concerned, these games really, really start to count right now. So let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks. Big win on Sunday night against the Philadelphia Eagles. A lot of line movement on Sunday night. The Eagles were as high as 6-point favorites at some spots. Ended up closing at 3.5. Seattle responded. A big win for them. Now they have to go to Florida, though, Northern Florida, take on the Jacksonville Jaguar football team, who's in a first-place tie in their division. So they're going all in on a weekly basis. I think Marone deserves credit. He's done a great job with this team this year. What do you make of this game with the Jacksonville Jaguars laying 3 points? You write about this in today's column, and Russell Wilson's a master. I mean, he doesn't have a running back. He doesn't have an offensive line. He just extends plays and buys time and until someone gets open. But that really could be a big problem against the Jacksonville Jaguar team who lead the National Football League with 45 sacks, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, if people watched closely on Sunday night like many of us did, what you saw is pretty much what you're going to see this week. The Philadelphia defensive front just annihilated the Seattle offensive line. But Wilson was nimble enough to make plays. And where he's able to be so effective late in the season is defensive linemen wear down a little bit. And Brandon Graham from the Eagles talked about that. Even though the Eagles do have a lot of depth up front, Graham says, you know, you get tired chasing this guy around. Jaguars don't. And that's the big key to him. It's not just how good the talent is in the defensive line. It's how deep. They had seven guys rotating for at least 20 plays on Sunday. So they have that wave after wave they can put out there. Jacksonville's got four guys that are in the top 35 in the NFL in sacks. It's that depth that I think is going to really challenge Wilson, because I just don't know if that Seattle offensive line can get off the ball well enough on the road to open things up. Ordinarily, I would love Wilson as an underdog to Blake Bortles. I love Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll as an underdog to Doug Marrone. I just can't buy them this week. The matchup may not work.
Dave, I remember these two teams would play often in like the first couple of weeks of the season a couple of years ago, and it usually produced really, really low-scoring football games. It's hard to bet an under. It's hard to bet an under in today's NFL, especially an under 41 or so. And here we got a 39.5. But with that being stated, are there going to be points put up on the board in this game? I'm not so sure. The scoreboard operator is going to be very busy on Sunday afternoon.
Well, here's what you can get, though, is you can get volatility. Because one of the funny things about NFL handicapping is bad running. When teams can't run the ball, it can lead to overs. And I don't think Seattle's going to be able to run the ball very well. What happens when you can't run? You get 3rd and 9. And 3rd and 9 is when quarterbacks get sacked more often or fumble in the pocket or throw interceptions, or you get more punts and you get bad field position and all these little things that can create cheap scores. And that's what you're liable to see here. Can Seattle turn Blake Bortles over? Yes, they can, to get some type of cheap score. Could Russell Wilson possibly make a mistake against this defense? Yeah, this is the one time it could happen. So this is one of those sneaky games where the defenses or the special teams might be able to put a touchdown directly on the board.
Dave, I had the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday against the New York Jets, and it was excruciatingly frustrating because the Chiefs' offense played so well. And it's interesting because during the Kansas City Chiefs slide, you know, what does the mainstream media write about? Alex Smith needs to be benched for Mahomes. You know, what are the fantasy writers bitching about and talking about? Kareem Hunt hasn't scored a touchdown in 3 weeks. Well, you know, since week three of the National Football League regular season. What do we see? The Chiefs gained 10.3 yards per play. They didn't turn the ball over. The offense was great, and they still end up losing the football game against the New York Jets. You know, the Chiefs' problems are coming on the other side of the football. You know, the offense has had its issues at times, but, you know, when Eric Berry got hurt, it didn't really catch. You know, at the first couple of weeks, they absorbed it, and it wasn't really discussed very much. But we've seen he almost has the sort of same impact that Sean Lee has on the Dallas Cowboys when Eric Berry's not on the field. And it's funny, you wouldn't think that a safety would have such an effect on the run game, Dave, but he really does. I mean, ever since Berry went out, teams just been running the ball right up the middle on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Berry means so much because you can do so many things schematically because of how smart he is, but he also is someone who can finish plays and make tackles against the run. But to put the best perspective in there is, you know, the Jets have a below-average offense. They were out there for 85 plays Sunday. NFL average is, you know, in the low 60s. Out of 85 plays, Kansas City couldn't come up with one sack, one interception, or one fumble recovery. Going back the last four full games, the Chiefs only have one takeaway. You've got to be able to make plays on defense. It's not just about bend but not break. You got to make something happen in the NFL. Right now, Gabe, that defense can't make anything happen.
Dave, I wanted to talk about the Baltimore Ravens and the Steelers game a little bit. You and I talked at halftime of the Monday Nighter about the key number of 23.5, 22.5. What does it really mean? Well, the math added up, and you brought it up, Dave. Well, if the game goes to overtime or it gets tied at 20-20, and it's exactly what happened. But the Pittsburgh Steelers have now won three consecutive games by 3 points, Dave. You know, they beat the Colts by three as 10-point favorites, 14-point favorites against the Green Bay Packers, the three-point win. And then last night is four-and-a-half, five-point favorites. They get another three-point win. Now they're laying 5.5 points against the surging Baltimore Raven football team. And, you know, over the history, over the years, Normally you want to play against the Steelers or the Ravens the week after they played against each other, because these two teams beat the crap out of each other. But the Ravens have played themselves into the playoffs, and as you know, I think they are a playoff team. So they're getting 5.5 points this week. And Pittsburgh playing on a short week on Monday night in an extremely physical football game in which, you know, the whirlpools are going to be, you know, they're going to be full at the Steelers facility this week. The hot tubs are going to be full. They lose Ryan Shazier, and our prayers are with Ryan Shazier. You know, a short week, but then you got a Baltimore Raven team who lose, you know, their best defensive back in Jimmy Smith. Interesting game, but I still think the point spread's too high here, David, 5.5. I don't think the public or the odds makers are giving the Ravens much respect here.
No, the Ravens do have some depth in the secondary to replace Smith. They don't have someone who can step right in, but they got guys who at least are capable, so they were sort of planning on this. They've got depth. The concern, can you get something out of Joe Flacco? And one of the numbers that we use the best, and my favorite stat when it comes to passing game is what I call net yards per attempt. Most people say yards per pass. I use net per attempt because it factors the sacks in. Baltimore's dead last in the NFL on offense in net yards per attempt. They just haven't been able to make things happen. Yeah, they had a nice ride against Detroit because they got a big lead early, and Flacco could manage the game. But if you're betting Baltimore, you've got to find a way to make some plays and get some points on the board. And I don't want Flacco on the road at night against this defense unless I can get a full six. So I got from now to Sunday night to shop around and find it.
I would imagine that on Sunday the public starts to buy in on the home team and the Steelers.
That has been the tendency because they've done so well with favorites in these primetime games over the course of the season. It did work out as well for them this past week, so that'll curtail some of the enthusiasm. That'll take some kinks out of the bankrolls a bit. But six is really the go number. Well, the Ravens will make stops. They will be physical. They won't make anything easy. And outside of Antonio Brown making terrific catches, we still don't see Ben Roethlisberger throwing the ball all that well. So the Ravens' defense will be in the hunt. I just don't know if that offense can get the job done. But here's what we may see because of where this total is sitting. That Pittsburgh team total has got a chance to get out there at 24.5. That's not a bad way to make that your path to the window. Take Flacco out of the game and just rely on the Raven defense, bet the Pittsburgh team total under.
Yeah, it seems a little high at 24.5. And, you know, it's sort of been a blind teaser. Earlier in the year, it was 29-14, the football game. But over the years, Dave, you can almost sort of blindly tease the underdog in this rivalry to the under. There's a lot of 23-20 style football games along the way between these two teams.
And I think we're going to see a little bit more of that, you know, out there this Sunday. But one of the things that will happen is both coaches have so much confidence in their defense. Offensively, they can go into a shell with the lead. So if someone gets up 10 or 14, you don't have that same concern about it extending to 17 or 21 because the team with the lead is more concerned about not making a mistake, not giving something away, instead of increasing the margin.
The Denver Broncos are just, it's like the Wizard of Oz, the Wicked Witch of the West. They're evaporating before our very eyes. Right now, Dave, it's amazing to me, just 2 years removed from the Super Bowl, the lack of pride that this organization is displaying on the football field. And, you know, there's a lot to work to do there at the end of this year. And I know it's going to reflect poorly on John Elway to replace Vance Joseph after one season because he's, you know, you're the one that hired this guy. But, Dave, you know, it seems to me that he's just in over his head right now. And I'm not stating that everything wrong with the Denver Broncos is his fault. I know you respect Mike McCoy. And Mike McCoy, offensive coordinator, was made to be the scapegoat a couple of weeks ago. And as I stated, Dave, at the time, I don't care if the legendary, you know, master himself, you know, Bill Walsh was the coordinator right now. If your quarterbacks are Brock Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, and Trevor Siemian, is it really the offensive coordinator's fault? Like, you know, is it really the offensive coordinator's fault at this point in time? And now you got a New York Jet team coming in here, and who would have thought that the Jets would be the least dysfunctional New York football team? What do you make of this Jets-Broncos game? And you know, the Jets are a long shot to make the playoffs, but the Jets are still showing up to work every week in a positive attitude, in a positive mood. People said they were going to win three games or less this year, including myself.
Yeah, this is the type that I get so tempted to reverse current form because, you know, the Jets are out there -1, -1.5. Think about how much has happened in a couple of months. Week two of this season, the Jets were +14 at Oakland.
Yeah.
Which means they probably would have been about maybe +13 at Denver that same week. The spread has moved 2 full touchdowns. The Denver defense has Pro Bowl guys and some potential Hall of Famers if the pride shows. But here's what I don't see, Gabe. In reading between the lines, I want to hear players saying they support their coach. They want to right the ship.
Yeah.
They want to make something good happen. I'm not reading that anymore.
That's what I'm saying. If it was going to happen, exactly. I was thinking if they're like, man, we're letting this new guy down. We like Vance, and we're letting this guy down. We, you know, this needs to stop. We haven't seen that. It's 8 in a row right now. And I'm getting the feeling Elway's never been, you know, gun shy before. He's, you know, we've seen this. He fired John Fox despite going to a Super Bowl. He's made some bold moves at the quarterback position, and it worked out for him at the time with Peyton Manning. But John Elway, to me, gets a free pass, Dave. You know, when the Dallas Cowboys struggle, people take shots at Jerry Jones for being a meddlesome owner. But the fact of the matter is, John Elway runs the Denver Broncos from top to bottom.
Well, he's not getting a free pass anymore because when you lose 8 games in a row, guess what happens? The fan base, and it's been one of the best fan bases in the NFL, they get a little bit restless because here's what makes you nervous if you're a Denver fan. You can keep losing. You've seen enough from Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch to know that you're not going to be in the playoffs anytime soon with them at quarterback. So Denver will be starting, after having drafted both of them, Denver's going to be starting all over again at quarterback next year, having to go into the draft or make a trade. So this is when Denver fans could start to get a little restless. What I'll follow up on the rest of this week is any sign that the players connect to Joseph, because if not, if you're a player, and you know, if you lose a couple more games, Joseph will be gone. If you don't care, you could lose those games. And maybe the players genuinely don't respect him. So this could be that sort of a sluggish situation, but it's just so tempting when they're a home underdog. When they see in the newspaper that a team like the Jets is favored to beat them, a lot of times that's what you will get, that added spark. I just don't know if we will.
All right, Dave, we've only got a minute left. You know what? I think Elway hasn't wanted to spend big money on a quarterback. But I think at this time, like you said, he's got the defense, otherwise just wasting it. And he's, you know, they have high expectations in the Mile High City, pardon the pun. They really do. I think Kirk Cousins makes a lot of sense out there. Maybe an Eli Manning, actually, but I'm not sure what Eli has left in the tank. All right, Dave, we've got about a minute left. Quick take, Jimmy V. I'm going to be talking about this with one of our basketball guests that joins on a weekly basis. But, you know, I watched the speech last night again, Dave. I got choked up in the middle of the night while I was preparing for this show. And I hope younger people realize, you know, the Jim Valvano story. But from a basketball standpoint tonight, Gonzaga-Villanova should be an interesting game.
I am surprised at how well Villanova has meshed so quickly. I mean, it's become literally plug and play for Jay Wright. He is fitting the right kids into his system so quickly. So their chemistry, I think, is further along than Gonzaga. Price is higher than I would have liked if it was laying it, but I see enough that I don't want to knee-jerk to this dog. The toughness of this Villanova team, the defensive chemistry they play with, that's been something special the early part of this season.
Dave Malinsky, sportsbookreview.com. Go to the front page. You can read his column, Vegas Point Blank. It's always a pleasure, Dave. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. I look forward to talking football with you next week as the stakes continue to get raised higher.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
There's Dave Malinsky with us. All right, I think I got a collection agency tracking me down. They're calling me now on the show. Somebody answer the damn phone, man. I didn't realize we had call waiting here. Like, I've been here 3.5 years. The first time I've ever, like, I don't know. It seemed like someone was calling. I saw Sean looking at the phone kind of angrily and confused. But, yeah, evidently we've got call waiting here. Game time decisions. Probably Joe Pisapia. And, you know, Or it's Cam Stewart. Cam forgot his lunch or something. Don't touch my sandwich. Game Time Decisions continues.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, and for the record, no, we never figure out who was calling us, but there's a lot of things that we don't, a lot of things we're trying to figure out here, people, all right? Nevertheless, don't forget, now the show is on at 5 o'clock. I'm sorry, Billy. Billy the doorman, Billy the postman, he's not happy. He's like, how come they move Morenci's show again? I got used to it at 2 o'clock. It's like, dude, I don't know. It's better at 5. It's better for us. You know, more people should see it at 5, but like I said before, it's not like our fans have jobs or anything anyway. So I get it. It goes, you know, it's a split. Come on, Billy. We appreciate you watching the show, Billy. All right, so let's bring in Joe Pisapia right now. Joe Pisapia 17 on Twitter, which means there's actually 16 other Joe Pisapias that have already stolen his name. Joe Pisapia 17 on Twitter, author of the best-selling Fantasy Black Book, co-host of On Target with Jake Seeley and Chris Meany, Monday to Friday on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network at 4 o'clock Eastern. Joe, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. All those other 16 Joe Pisapias I actually killed to get here.
Yeah. You slayed them all.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
You slayed them all. You know, there's a bunch of fake Morencis out there and stuff. And, you know, I got some dude, like, he actually, he bought the domain name GabrielMorenci.com.
Well, that's actually good. I think the more Morenci's out there, the better it is for you. That means your bookies can't come after you, right?
It's confusing.
Them to some other guy's house.
Yeah, no, it's confusing them, exactly. So the guy, like, actually, like, thought he was so cool. Like, he had a bunch of names of mine, like 5 or 7 names. He's like, aha, LOL, Morenci, look what I got. He goes, I'm willing to sell them to you. And I told him, I said, it's funny, I haven't figured out how to make money with my name. If you can, good luck. Let me know. You know, it's like, yeah, whatever, knock yourself out, kid. I'm the real guy, and I can't make money. So you know what? You want to have the fake guy? Go ahead. You know, best of luck to you, kid. It's like the time someone stole my father's credit card. He left his back door open, passed out. He left his credit card on the coffee table. It was like a homeless shelter near his place. And I always used to tell him, dude, they're going to come in. Like, he used to leave his back door, like his patio open all the time. I was like, they're going to come in one of these nights. And lo enough, they did. They didn't steal anything besides his credit card. But he went to the store the next morning. He even knew his card was gone. And the guy in the store told him, oh, someone was here with your credit card last night. But they got rejected because there was no money on it.
Nice. There you go.
So the crook stole the credit card, went and tried to buy like a bunch of carton of cigarettes and alcohol, and got rejected. Love it. All right. So speaking of getting rejected, I was in 4 pretty high cash fantasy football season-long leagues. I got rejected in 2 of them, but I made the playoffs in 2 of them. So it's not a bad success rate, actually. So I'm into the playoffs in 2 of them. Quarterfinals, though, so expanded playoff format, 16 playoffs as opposed to the 8. But nevertheless, I come into the playoffs this week, and I feel I'm pretty much screwed, to be honest with you. You know, I got hurt hard by the Aaron Rodgers stuff because I have Jordy Nelson and Davante Adams, and, you know, that was devastating right there. But let's talk a little DFS right now, and a player that everybody's going to jump on, and it reminds me of when McKissick did this earlier in the year with Seattle. And he scored 2 touchdowns late, and he looked all flashy and stuff. And everybody talked about McKissick this, McKissick that. And he hasn't done jack since then. Now the name that I hear, can't go anywhere without hearing Mike Davis right now, Joe. What's your take on Mike Davis? Are you buying in for the remainder of the season? This week, he doesn't have a very good matchup against Jacksonville. Technically, Jacksonville, you can run on him, but numbers kind of lie, and the Jags just have a tough defense, and I think Seattle's in a tough spot this week. But are you buying the Mike Davis hype right now?
Well, I think the matchup makes it really difficult to buy in too hard. If you want some salary relief, I know on DraftKings around 3,700, which I can understand if you're doing multi-entries and tournaments. Maybe you want to have one of those kind of lineups. But when Gio Bernard is 3,100, if Mixon isn't available to go, we saw him get concussed last night in that game. if he's unable to go, there's nobody else in that backfield. Hill's on IR. If Mixon is out, then it's Gio Bernard's game. And, you know, I understand the intrigue with Mike Davis, who's a guy that could catch the ball. He kind of reminds me of a little Maurice Jones-Drew type, a little bigger lower half kind of back. But he's quick enough. He can break away. The trouble is, what have we seen out of Seattle running backs all year long? Basically just disappointment. So I think that's the whole thing. It is a one-off in a multi-entry tournament. I can understand it. If you're desperate, you just got into a situation in a playoff where you're desperate for running back help, okay. But hey, look, Jacksonville is not going to be easy to go against in terms of what they've been able to accomplish with the running game all year long. I know some of the numbers will bear out early on that Jacksonville struggled against the run a little bit. But still, you know, when all said and done, that Seattle Seahawks backfield has given you almost nothing all year. So just because one guy has a one-off this past week doesn't make it necessarily a carryover for this week.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with everything you just stated there. Not to mention, too, one thing that Seattle had on Sunday when Mike Davis was putting these numbers up was a big lead. Not, you know, right. The Seahawks haven't had a lot of double-digit leads this year, Joe. They just haven't. You know, nope. And so you know, it was a healthy situation for them. They were trying to kill the clock. They were dumping it off, and they were handing it off to them. I get it. But as you stated, each week is different, and I don't think they're going to have a double-digit lead in this football game. Leads me to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's amazing to me. I mean, a guy, he's like a Michael Jordan. I think he really is that good. He's like a special athlete, no offensive line, no ground game, pedestrian wide receivers, and he makes magic. Yet, the Philadelphia Eagles blew up that offensive line. Just when they got past the O-line, Russell Wilson was able to evade them and buy time, and they just couldn't get to him. Now we're dealing with a Jacksonville Jaguar defensive front. They rotate like seven guys, Joe. They've got guys coming in and out. They've got 45 sacks on the season. They come from the middle, and they collapse from both ends. So Russell Wilson can run around a bit, but I think he's going to be running right into sacks. They're a nasty team, man, Jacksonville. I don't think it's a good matchup for Russell Wilson either this week.
Well, here's the thing. In the Daily World this week, he is so suppressed. I mean, we're used to him being well into the upper tier of QB1s that you'd want and priced accordingly. Now, this week against Jacksonville, I think he's 67 on DraftKings.
62.
In the 7K range over on FanDuel. And to me, you know, I'm looking at that as opportunity because people will shy away because of the ownership. They'll shy away because of the matchup. They'll shy away for a lot of reasons. And one of the reasons is, well, he's going to be on the run. Well, if he's on the run, that's potential for more rushing yards for Russell Wilson, which is a bonus, or more rushing touchdowns potentially for Russell Wilson. So it's not that I don't think Russell Wilson, you know, can't be stopped. I do. But the problem is the same guys in that price range, their ceiling is somewhere, I think, around his floor in this game.
Yeah.
And if he should have a really good game despite that, all of a sudden that's a huge separator. So I'm actually on Russell Wilson this week. We've seen it before where you get the certain players, you know, despite certain matchups can overcome them. You saw Marvin Jones overcome that Rhodes situation on Thanksgiving. You know, sometimes these things can work out. And if you believe that Russell Wilson is a Jordan-esque, as you put it, type of talent, well, then he should show up and be able to handle the Jacksonville defense, which let's not forget, they've had some points put on them already this year. It has happened. It is possible. And if anybody can do it, I'll take the discounted Russell Wilson. And I'll take my chances.
Yeah, $6,200 on DraftKings. And, yeah, it's amazing. If you look at the numbers, he's put up 24, 24, 32, 19, 25, 39, 29, and 12. So he scored 24 or more DK points in every football game going all the way back to week 5.
All right, and that's the whole point, Gabe. You get to a spot where, all right, the other guy's price around that range that you might want to pay down for a quarterback, what's their ceiling? I don't know, 17 points, maybe 20 if you get lucky. Meanwhile,
right.
His floor is somewhere around there.
And look
at
Brady.
That's what I expect on a bad day against Jacksonville. And if he's going to give me his worst day and give me 15 to 17 points, okay, that's fine because I have the upside for more. And on top of that, I've got a situation where he's not hurting me either because he's not at the normal $8,000 or $7,000 price, depending on what site you play on, where it could hurt you when he has a bad day.
And you look at Brady. I mean, you spend big money on Brady every week, and there is a window. He pretty much gets to like 20, you know, he's going to give you around 20 fantasy points, and that's that. And we brought this up. Is it 40 yards, Joe, equate a touchdown rushing? It's in that ballpark, right? You know, if a QB gives you 35, 40 yards, that's the same as throwing a touchdown, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the pass rush is not a negative. I keep trying to stress that. Just because they can get a pass rush,
it's almost
that
better actually if you got a fantasy quarterback.
Part of the plus is they're going to roll him out, and hopefully he's going to get opportunities to run around the field. And Jacksonville, although very good, this is another team. I said it last week. You know, the Eagles going into Seattle. Let's see how they do on the road in Seattle. It's a tough place to play, and we'll find out just how good the Eagles really are. Let's find out how really good Jacksonville is, because the AFC is pretty weak. So I'm color me unimpressed. I know the defense is great, but let's see what they can do against a better, more experienced football team.
All right, so we've only got a minute or two left here. You brought up Gio Bernard. Keep your eye on this guy, especially if Mixon is out. $3,100 for Gio Bernard. We've got Robbie Anderson, $6,500, taking on the Denver Broncos, and Tyreek Hill, $7,300 against the Raiders. And I talked about the Chiefs earlier. It's funny, you know, people were bitching. Oh, you got to bench Alex Smith, bring in Mahomes. Kareem Hunt sucks. The offense sucks. Yeah, they average over 10 yards per play. They put up a boatload of points. Alex Smith threw for four touchdowns and nearly 400 yards, and they ended up losing the football game. But I think they put up some more points again.
You see Oakland and Brandon Cooks and what happened there. So if Brandon Cooks can go past that secondary, imagine what Tyreek Hill can do.
Yeah, yeah, and I think I like the Chiefs actually in this game. I think people are overrating the Raiders here, but you know, you think Tyreek Hill can have a nice game here against the Raiders, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I watched Cooks blow by double coverage in that secondary in that Pats game, and it was not even close. And we're talking about elite speed, and Tyreek Hill has elite speed just like Cooks has. And those guys are just absolute nightmare for the Oakland Raiders. So I expect Tyreek Hill to have a carryover. I know some people will stay away from him because he had the big day last Sunday. But you know what? Sometimes there's carryover with the matchup. And I think he's still priced right where he could have that again. And as long as Alex Smith and company, the new play calling, will actually help him as well. Keep getting the ball in his hands, and I think good things will happen again to Kansas City this week.
Yeah, I've left Kamara on the table a couple of times saying, oh, he can't do it again. Oh, no, he's not going to put another thing. Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. How's that worked out for me? Not well. Thanks, Joe.
Always a pleasure, Gabe.
There's Joe Pisapia with us. All right, we'll take a quick break. Pete Annapolis joins us next. We talk some basketball.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's talk some basketball. Only three games on the NBA slate tonight. Jay Triano, actually, former head coach of Team Canada and the Toronto Raptors, comes back to Toronto, takes on the Raptors. Phoenix Suns getting a bunch of points tonight after they beat the Philadelphia 76ers last night. Utah Jazz played last night, absolutely manhandled and destroyed the Washington Wizards. The Wizards only scored 69 points, all right, against the Utah Jazz. And we got the Wizards and the Blazers on the board. A lot of teams going back-to-back here this evening. All the teams actually played last night, except with the exception of the Toronto Raptors. So with this being an anemic, yeah, the Oklahoma City-Utah game's all right, but let's talk some college basketball. Let's bring Pete Annapolis in right now. Pete's a college guy, former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen, RDS television analyst, Champlain college analyst now as well. So Let's talk quickly about the LeVar Ball and LiAngelo Ball situation. You know, they go to China, they embarrass UCLA, they embarrass the United States of America as a whole. They steal from three different stores. Three players from UCLA steal from multiple stores. In China, man, you get like a year per item. So the average Chinese citizen would have been in like a labor camp for 3 to 4 years' time. They spent 2 weeks in a luxury hotel under house arrest. Jack Ma, the head of Alibaba, one of the biggest company in the world, it's basically China's Amazon online sales. Jack Ma has big connections to UCLA. They were never going to put these kids in jail, but nevertheless, they were in trouble. It didn't hurt that Donald Trump happened to be on an Asian tour at the time and happened to be in China at the time. Trump, Jack Ma, and President Xi Ling, you know, Li, etc. You know, they let him go. Come back to America. You know, they're asked, you know, do you want to thank Donald Trump? LeVar Ball goes, Donald who? Never heard of him. You know, acts like a jackass, very ungrateful. Donald Trump then tweets, I should have left him in jail. Very presidential. I should have left him in jail. And now, ungrateful 2.0, LeVar Ball pulls his kid from UCLA, guys, because Steve Alford had the audacity to indefinitely suspend him. I don't know. I guess according to LeVar, he should have been made team captain. Right, Pete?
Well, listen, you broke it down pretty good, Cabe, and you know, only a couple.
Yeah, I was trying to make it in a nutshell. That's what happened. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, the happiest guy right now in all of America is Steve Alford.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and the athletic director of the UCLA Bruins. I mean, they got LeVar Ball and the whole family out of UCLA for good. They'll never play college basketball. They'll never play for the UCLA Bruins. And you have the situation where this is a dysfunctional family, and LeVar Ball is the king of dysfunctionality. He's a narcissist, and now he's bringing his sons here. His son for the Los Angeles Lakers is probably the most overrated number two pick in the history of the NBA, albeit only after 20-plus games, Gabe. But let's make it clear. These kids right now are on a trajectory to really be one of the worst journeys of a family growing up in basketball.
Well, these two, listen, Lonzo is going to get by. I don't know, the rest of them, they're candidates to be on Dr. Drew rehab in 10 years. That's where this is going. I mean, and his delusion is this about, and he's not going to another college, I can get him better ready for the NBA than UCLA can. Pete, he doesn't have NBA skills. This kid would be lucky to be playing in the Japanese BJ League. I watch a lot of international ball. He couldn't play in the Euro League even. Like that. This is, you want to talk crap about Lonzo and say, all right, he's better than Curry and all this, fine. But now you're messing with a kid who would have had a great college experience at UCLA, you know, around these hot chicks, had a good time there. Now you're going to get him ready for the NBA. Your son's not playing in the NBA. LiAngelo Ball will not be in the NBA, Pete.
No, there's no question he will not. And here's the difference, right? When you're recruiting, and I've been in it, and it's the nature of the beast. In college basketball, you know, you'll take a kid who shouldn't be on that team or doesn't have enough talent because you want to get his brother or another player, his high school teammate.
And that's what happened here. You're right, because I wondered about that after LeVar blamed the white guys on the team last year. When they lost, he said, oh, it was the white guys. Never mind the fact that Leaf and Welsh both had much better games than Lonzo did. But anyways, and never mind the fact, isn't Lonzo Ball's mother white? So
yeah.
Anyways.
Not a racist comment at all, right?
No, it's the white guy's fault. Yeah, I know. But it's amazing to me. So I was like, why the hell would they have any of these balls? But that's the deal, Pete, right? I didn't realize this. They cut a deal. When they took Lonzo Ball, they agreed to take the other two brothers as well at the time.
Right. That's what happened. And LaMelo Ball has some talent. He's got better size. He's more athletic.
Yeah, he's the better one. The middle one, LiAngelo, is kind of the one that's not the best player, right? The young one could be pretty good, right?
Exactly. But now he's 16. He doesn't go to school, doesn't practice with any other teammates. You know, and here's a situation, Gabe. You know, these type of deals, package deals, have been going on for years in the NCAA. You could do that. But now you have your kids playing pro ball. In professional sports, there's no moral victories. There's no developing. You got to win or else you're fired. They don't care who LeVar Ball is and what he can bring to a professional team. I mean, they want guys who can play. You want a 16-year-old LaMelo Ball now trying to go play in China or trying to go play in Europe? He's got no chance.
He's going to get eaten alive.
Ball's not good enough, right?
He's going to get eaten alive. All right. So, listen, unfortunately, we've only got about 3 minutes left here right now. Jimmy V Classic starts tonight at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. You know, if you haven't watched the speech before, watch the speech. You know, we got a little clip of it. I don't know if we can play it. It's ESPN. But I believe the speech actually has been released into the copyright realm. Because even ESPN and the ESPYs aren't going to sit on that. The Never Give Up speech, one of the greatest speeches and inspirational speeches. My favorite part is when he says, He goes, you know, I see you waving at me to stop. Because they were like, bro, you're way over. Like, he had like three or four minutes, and he went for 14 minutes. And he's live on TV, and they're like, oh, you're way over. And he looks, and he goes, do you really think I care what you say to me right now? The guy's dying. He's going to be dead in a couple of minutes. You really think I care? And everyone starts howling. He goes, come on, man. I got bigger problems than you. And he just keeps on talking about his speech. But great stuff. So we encourage people to watch it if you're younger and you haven't watched this before. Although most people are just dumb and don't give a crap about anything anyway. So you can live your shallow lives. Don't watch it. But as far as basketball is concerned tonight, UConn and Syracuse, a bad spot, I think, for UConn. I mean, these guys are really struggling to get by. They're winning games. I think, and you got to, you know, to beat Syracuse, you got to be able to shoot the three ball without zone. UConn's only hitting 30% of their threes. And we got Villanova and Gonzaga. This is going to be a real fun game, man. Villanova's playing great basketball to start the season.
Yeah, no question. They should have probably had Villanova and Gonzaga as the second game. Who would think a UConn and Syracuse game would be the second most anticipated game in a doubleheader? But listen, Villanova's rolling. They're 8-0. Jalen Brunson is one of the best point guards, one of the best players in America. I mean, he's shooting 52% right now as a junior. His father, Rick Brunson, played at Temple, played in the NBA. I mean, he was born to be a point guard, and now it's his team. It's Josh Hart left last year. He has the talent to make plays, to shoot threes, to get everybody better, and really take over the game. Bridges, Pascal, I mean, the transfer from Fordham, I mean, they have what it takes to go far again in March, Gabe. And I think this game is about, can they handle Gonzaga's big guys? Gonzaga, again, came one game from beating North Carolina, should have beat North Carolina, championship game. Corey Kispert, ankle injury, didn't play against Creighton, went through the shoot-around this morning. I was told at Madison Square Garden he is questionable, but I think you got Josh Perkins, Jonathan Williams, the experience. These guys could take it to the basket. They're big, Tilly inside. I love Zach Norville Jr., the freshman. My God, 6'6". He's such an athlete, so they're going to have to control him on the wings. Gabe, it's funny, since 2014, these are the number one and number three teams with the most wins in college basketball. Gonzaga being first and Villanova being third. This is going to be a tremendous game and a tremendous atmosphere in Madison Square Garden. I think that Villanova has that experience, but I think this game's going to go down to the wire.
Pete Annapolis, RDS Television with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with our plays of the day. Coming up next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. We had some great picks last night. Let's try to keep it rolling this evening. Let's start off in the National Basketball Association. Not a lot of action on the board tonight. We've got three games, but we've got opinions on all three of them. Toronto Raptors laying 13.5 to the Phoenix Suns. Suns played last night. Jay Triano used to be the coach of the Raptors and head coach of Team Canada. Great guy, well-respected guy. Tough spot here. I think the Raptors are going to win, but I'm not in a hurry to lay the 13.5. And I think the Blazers are going to beat the Wizards, who played last night, only scored 69 points against Utah. So let's moneyline parlay. It's minus 184. I know it sucks, but hey, it is what it is. Give me the Utah Jazz. I know they played last night, but man, these guys are red hot right now. Getting 7 points. Utah's a fundamentally sound basketball team. Give me the 7 points against the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're going to go over 198. Gonzaga and Villanova. Man, this is going to be a fun game. I want to take the points with Gonzaga, and I might, but let's go over the number. Both these teams are scoring a ton of freaking points, man. Should be a lot of fouls in this game. I think we're going to be able to get there. We're going to lay the 6.5 for the Syracuse Orangemen. I preferred it at 5, but UConn are in a lot of trouble right now. They're banged up, and they got problems. Game's going to squeeze over the number at 132. Give me the Nevada Wolfpack, +5. All right. Speaking of banged up, St. John's, they don't have their best player, their point guard leading scorer out. Lopes, Grand Canyon, +5. Quickly on the way out here, NHL hockey, Devils Blue Jackets under 5.5, Blues Canadiens under 5.5. Avalanche are going to beat the Sabres, and the Wild and the Kings go under 5.5. Other than that, you're on your own, made a winners be yours.